Spoilers ahead, fucknuts.
It's okay. I'm here. It's been a while since you've had one of those nightmares. Tell me, what was it about?
It's only fragments. Nothing's clear. You've been fighting the Harkonnens for decades.
Look!
My family's been fighting them for centuries.
Your blood comes from dukes, then great houses. Here, we're equal. What we do for the benefit of all.
Well, I'd very much like to be equal to you.
Maybe I'll show you the way.
Deal with this prophet.
So Christopher Walken.
Vader Arthur. He's psychotic.
See possible futures all at once, and in so many futures our enemies prevail. But I do see a way. There is a narrow way through.
Oh, that Wormus has got me acting up. Oh, three of them's got me acting unwise.
Is to you. Do you believe me?
This is a form of power that our world has not yet seen. The ultimate power.
I want you to know I will love you as long as I breathe.
You will never lose me as long as you stay who you are.
Consider what you're about to do, you poor Atreides.
Silence! This prophecy is how they enslave us!
So I think we gotta probably address the giant sandworm in the room here, huh?
Yeah. How about that popcorn bucket worm? The worm ussy.
Dune 2, Worm Ussy. Get it at your theaters now. Before you see the new epic.
Fucking
God damn it, I'm pissed we didn't get our hands on one.
Yeah, we couldn't get our hands on a fleshlight worm. Goddamn.
Maybe they just recalled them. They're like, no.
Too many memes. Too many people are making fun of our worm bucket thing that looks like a fucking pocket pussy.
That would make them even more rare, though.
Check eBay.
Should we check it right now?
Oh, my God.
Fuck it.
They're just selling them on like eBay or Amazon.
Well, would you like to do our intro while I look that up?
All right, so. As if you couldn't catch the hint, this podcast will be discussing the new movie coming out. Technically hasn't come out yet, but
we saw a early sneak preview in IMAX.
Yes, of Dune 2.
Comes out March 1st.
Dune Part 2. Dune 2. Yeah, emphasize Part 2 of Dune. Very, and it was yeah. If you couldn't tell, we enjoyed ourselves during this movie.
No, we didn't get our popcorn bucket.
Yes, no, that was a big disappointment. I wonder how maybe other people were disappointed because I didn't see anyone else
going
in the
for
theater
like 50 bucks. 50 bucks.
50 bucks for the pocket pussy worm bucket thing.
I'll have to think about that.
God damn it.
That might be even more rare. And then we can take it to the theater with us if we see it again.
Damn it. I wonder, maybe they're saving it for the actual release, and that's when they're going to be handing him out.
Oh, on release day? Yeah, no, that makes sense. Day. Okay, so we'll have to go again release day.
Oh, yes, that's where we get our fix.
Which I guess I would, because I thoroughly enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, yes, I would definitely not mind seeing this again.
For those who haven't seen Dune, it's a sci-fi action-adventure series.
Takes place in space, Iraq. Yes.
Yep. It's based on books by Frank Herbert, right?
Yes, Frank Herbert.
Yeah. And they're actually, I think the first one came out in 1965, we looked up earlier today. Me and my uncle, I think. So
it is an old series.
Yeah, so it's an old one. And it's had influence in a lot of areas. And Denis Villeneuve released part one 2 years ago, I believe, or 2 or 3 years ago, and absolutely fantastic as well. It was a little slower setting up a lot of the story, which is this character, Paul Atreides, and his family basically gets put on Arrakis.
Put in charge of basically controlling what essentially is space drugs of the spice. And working, and they have to deal with their politics within this essentially space Holy Roman Empire, which gets very complicated at times.
And I would say the politics here are definitely like very good for a sci-fi thing. Like they're handled really well, where they don't bore you and they stay interesting. I think that's a lot better than something like the Star Wars prequels.
This is an argument to bring back the Holy Roman Empire. We got to bring back the Holy Roman Empire.
Yes.
At least the politics will be entertaining. Fuck.
Right? But, so basically his family gets put in charge of this planet. And in part one, we saw how that instantly kind of went to shit. And
yep, and he kind of got fucked over. To this.
He got fucked over by walking.
Yes, we find out in this that Christopher Walken is the Emperor of the Galaxy. Doesn't have too many lines or anything like that, but to be honest, it kind of makes me happy just to see his face on there.
Right.
It's just so funny to look at.
He did good. He did good with not having really many lines at all.
No.
And Florence Pugh plays his daughter, who has a bit more screen time here, but...
She's like controlling a lot of the politics, right, with the Jesuit.
They're both good in this, and they do a lot with not having a ton of lines, especially in Christopher Walken's case. But they're set up for the next one to kind of.
Oh yeah, they did a good job setting
up part.
For
it seems so. That'll be interesting.
But still ended it in K, just whatever, in just in case if they weren't gonna make another one. It's a good ending. It's a good ending to see. If whatever case happens, but it's very good. Hopefully they do make another movie.
Oh, I hope so. He wants to do, I think the next one's going to be Dune Messiah or something, he said. But I think that's the only other one he plans on doing.
Oh,
so,
really?
Like, he wants other people to, like, keep doing it, I think. So, like, someone else would probably be continuing the story, I guess. But that's going to be Denis Villeneuve, the director and writer. It's going to be as far as he contributes to it. At least from what he said so far.
Hopefully he does.
I hope he sticks with it.
Yeah. I would hope so, because he does a great job.
His direction and the cinematography here is fucking insane.
Oh, great music, too, throughout this whole movie.
This is an extremely epic movie, and we were able to see it in IMAX, luckily, and it was an entirely packed theater. The most full theater I've seen in years, which is really cool to see.
Very
probably
very
since
prominent.
Like Avengers Endgame or Endgame, I believe, or No Way Home, I think was the last one maybe for me. Spider-Man No Way Home, but that's been a few years.
Really,
people are looking forward to this, and you're gonna get a really good treat with this movie. The performances here are really good. We only really went into Christopher Walken, Florence Pugh, but Timothy Chalamet, I think, is the standout here. He's the main character of Paul, and
does a great job as Paul. Like, he does. Great representative from the books, and transfers into the movies. It is very well done, I would say. Very well.
I feel like with this series and that Wonka one, like I like him a lot more as an actor now. Like, I think he is like rising up there.
Oh,
for
yeah,
me,
I forgot he was Wonka. Yeah. And,
he did good.
Yep. Yeah.
I remember people were kind of criticizing him for Wonka too, and I was like, honestly, like, I think without him, that movie kind of would have fallen apart.
Yeah, I was about to say, he did a good job being the face of Wonka when it.
No, seriously. And he kind of did, he kind of made it his own, where he wasn't trying to copy, like, other people, too.
No, well,
but he kept that, like, lightheartedness with the character.
Yeah, he plays as the young, well, anyway, we gotta stop reviewing Wonka. That's another thing that we did.
Oh, yeah, we're not reviewing Wonka.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Dune.
Well, we just got lost in Timothée Chalamet.
He has been doing well.
And Zendaya and Javier Bardem were in the first one, but barely. And
they got a lot bigger roles in this one now, though.
Yup.
Very much bigger roles, and they did a damn good job at those roles.
And they're both amazing actors, so it's really good to see them have more screen time here.
Yeah.
And both are, especially Javier Bardem, like we talked about, probably one of my favorite characters in this movie.
Oh, yeah. They definitely have. Plays his role as the zealot, as the religious zealot who actually believes Paul being the Messiah, essentially their space Messiah. He does a damn good job at it.
I'd say him and Timothée Chalamet are probably my favorite performances and my favorite characters in this movie.
Who were the ones that played as the villains? Harkins.
Stellan Skarsgård is the Baron.
Yeah.
And Austin Butler was Foyd Roitha.
Of course, we got Dave Bautista, who was
as Beast Raban.
Yeah, they did a great job too as being good villains. I would say Bautista.
Bautista's like, to me, like, was really good in this also. But like, I kind of couldn't help but like just see him as like kind of more of an evil Drax in this one.
I feel that. I know exactly what you mean.
It's just a more angry Drax. It's like, I was just like, I remember I was thinking that one scene with him. I'm like, this is just the timeline where Drax went evil, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, it's like where Drax went evil, but also became a little bit more cowardly, too, because he's actually running away from fucking conflict to it whenever it gets a little bit too crazy for him.
It's because villains are cowards.
Yeah. Well, but Bautista was not the other guy. Who's the new one?
Foyd Roitha?
Yeah, the nephew, the Baron's nephew they introduced into this.
Played by Austin Butler, who played Elvis and then. I almost just said Zelda, who played Elvis in that new Elvis movie that came out.
Yeah, he did a good job, though.
He was also that dude in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood that Cliff threw the cat food at his face. The Manson follower.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's another young actor that is definitely, like, he's pretty good. He's really good in a lot of the shit I've seen him. He was fantastic in this. He definitely is like
Blade is a hell of a fucking sociopath.
He's unrecognizable in this.
Yeah, well, kind of what happens when you shave off someone's head's eyebrow, every like hair follicle off someone's head, which the Harkin family thing.
But yeah, he was. He's really good in that. For people wondering that.
Oh yeah.
He's a new addition, and he's pretty twisted in this.
Yeah, plays as a good sociopath.
Yeah, and I know that character was in the original, the 84 one, which we're going to be watching this week. The Foyd Roitha, he was in the original.
The guy who played as the Baron, too, in this,
still
good. Still good as ever. Like, still that
menacing. Oh, yeah, he's creepy,
it's
dude.
It's the calm creepy a villain type of thing, if you know
what I
mean. Until the end, after they bust out his floaty.
Well, in this one, they kind of made him even more fucked up, because he, like, remember he had, like, those just, you hear, like, like, screaming, and then he went in the room, and there's, like, those dead
dude,
android
that, this,
chicks
that,
or
that,
whatever.
That family loves killing, like, just random women during their fucking things. Like, whether it's the Baron or even the nephew that was just killing, like, the other chicks that went in the room just to test his knife.
Yeah, that was...
That shit was...
This pushed the PG-13 pretty hard, too, I would say.
I thought it was R.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, they
sure it's PG-13.
No, they did a great job at that then. Very menacing, very characters and everything
PG-13,
like that.
PG-13, yeah.
Sheesh. Hey, cool.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So they just the reviews are on IMDb now too. Has a 9.4 on there right now.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Damn.
That's roughly what I'd give it. It was a very well.
It's a really, really good movie. This is one that I think I'm still kind of thinking about too. So
yeah, it leaves a nice little impression in your head.
It's hard for me to kind of like get my full thoughts on a movie when it's still at that point, but just because it's almost like there's so much to take in, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But it's in a very, very, very positive place. Like, this is definitely the best movie I've seen this year so far, but like, we're not very far into it.
Like, who's the actress who did Paul's mother, too, in this? She did a really good job,
She was really good in this, too. She was had much more to do here. Rebecca Ferguson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, she was fantastic in this, too.
Fully embracing the whole people's religion and getting everyone to be on believing Paul is the Messiah, like she was planning on at the end.
You kind of like were wondering what was going on with her, at least for like an audience person like me who doesn't know the story really like you do.
I know. I was about to say I read all those books and I.
But I was kind of wondering. I'm like, okay, like, is she like on his side or like, you know, like it really leaves you kind of thinking like what's going on with her? Like,
the answer is she's on her side or her and Paul's side and no one else's.
Yeah.
She's absolutely all in with the family and to save the family and to do that to fulfill the prophecy of the chosen one.
Mm. Well, Paul? They're like the last two Atreides left, aren't they?
Yeah. Or he's the last Atreides. Yeah. Because the other, remember,
technically isn't. She's just by marriage.
Yeah, you find out, twist another one. Or yeah, she's by marriage.
Yeah, that's one of the, I guess we can talk about one of the twists, the big twist, the Star Wars twist here.
Yes. So
it's not possible. I am your grandfather.
I did laugh when he said that to the Baron at the end. Which, by the way, this dad, did you want to say the twist?
Yes, it's that Paul is actually part Harkonnen.
Yes, he has the bloodline of both Harkin and Atreus.
Crazy shit.
As well as, you know, being literally the Messiah of Freeman people.
I'm
basically Freeman too. After taking out that fucking,
I was not expecting the water either. Like they got me with that twist.
it was very good.
Especially how like. Neither him nor his mom actually knew that. It was from when they drink the
water of life.
Yeah, the water of life, the blue drink.
What is like the poison of the worm, essentially, or whatever it was, the worm poison.
That was interesting to see too.
Oh yeah,
like them just kill the worm, like
little baby,
the baby worm. Yeah,
essentially use it to get the poison from it.
Yeah, it really does have you interested in this world because it makes you feel like it's real with how like accurate and awesome these sets look.
Yeah, it's very believable. In the cinematography. Type of world. It is very believable.
It just brings you into it.
Yeah.
Like so well. Like honestly, like Star Wars has really been fucking up with that recently.
Yeah, no, this is probably the most I've got invested into a world in a long time.
Right?
Ugh. It does its job well.
No, it's a fantastic movie.
Makes you want more too, as it was.
It really does. I remember, it's almost like I don't want to know, but then I was asking you about just like all these things in the movie.
What happens throughout the books? Too. Yeah, what's to come?
The car ride home.
What's to come? The beauty.
Silas. What? What does end up happening in all the other Dune books?
Well, you see, there's a worm. Okay. That's for another day.
We just spoiled Dune, all the future Dune things. It was called Spoiled It.
Spoiled It. Great, now I'm spoiling books other than just movies.
I just thought this was a Dune Part 2 review. They just spoiled the whole series for me. What the fuck?
I just love the Dune universe. It's such a different, more unique way of a sci-fi.
It is.
Where it's like, you know how most sci-fis, you got robots and AI.
That's what I was saying to you earlier about the politics thing, where I'm like, it doesn't suck. Like, I feel like I was always like, it's too on the nose almost. Like, maybe they could do politics in sci-fi, but they never do it well.
Dune is a sci-fi word that takes another extreme because they hate, like, AI in this universe due to, well, basically Sky, essentially killer robots trying to kill him. And long just, they don't talk about this in the movie. This is just in the books and it gets hinted.
So this is all background stuff, like it is in the movie, but it's not, they haven't talked about it.
They
it's
haven't
all
talked about it. I think it'll probably get brought up in later, if I remember right, because this is, anyway, but, so they focus on human evolution, essentially. They focus on bettering the human, the genetics, eugenics crap that you see, especially with the Jesuits that are basically do a lot of that stuff with the
They were really interesting.
For
the
politics.
Jesuits were really interesting in this, too.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like we talked about earlier, where you just, like, find out, like, they're the most, like, powerful people in this
They're
universe,
the literal
basically.
Shadow government of this universe. They have more power than the Emperor most of the time, and it is...
They're like starting they're like starting new families and stuff like that.
Yeah, and that's
like
how they do it. And they guarantee bloodlines to continue, and then they can use that bloodline. Like they were saying, can they use the other guy, the Harkin?
Uh-huh.
They're wondering, like, can he be useful? Yes. All right, go have his baby. go have sex with this man and make a make sure he can produce an heir so his useful genetics can pass on to the next and we can control the kids. Type of thing. It is
like, geez, guys, like
they
you were playing a fucked game of chess. Like,
it is such an interesting way, though, of how they were. Oh, and then at the same time, about the spice, fucking politics of the fucking how spice fuels everything, and people will use spice to increase their fucking mental capacity. Anyway,
you can tell it's a good sequel though when you wanna. Like, I really wanna watch that original 84 one now. And we're going to do a retro rewind for it.
You are not ready for that one's a drug trip. That one's more of a drug trip than anything.
Yeah, I'm pumped to see it. And but this is the sort of thing that makes you want to watch that or like the original, the part one again.
Definitely.
And I want to see this in theaters again.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, this is definitely better than the old one. But the old one is just a funny little drug. It's more funny than anything. You look back, you're like, ha. Ah, look at that. Look at that shit.
Oh, I bet.
Like, they cut
the
a lot of stuff
and
out.
Stuff
that,
now.
They cut out a lot of stuff, of course, because they're trying to fucking fit everything into one movie rather than this one that did a two-parter.
So now you've seen both parts, you definitely say, like, this is a gigantic improvement.
Oh, yeah. These were definitely really good movies.
But that's fun in a cheesy sort of way, the original.
Yeah, the other ones are more fun in the cheesy. It's like going and watch Big Trouble in Little China or something like that.
The
China
one with Kurt Russell?
Yeah. So, you know, one of those type of ones. Like James, like the that James Cameron made, or Escape from L.A. type thing. They're good. Like they're fun little movies to watch. You're not taking them really seriously, those ones.
Yeah.
And that one you probably wouldn't either.
Yeah. No, I get what you
mean.
It's
more funny looking back on them too.
Yeah.
Type of thing. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. They're more cheesy. They're just kind of outdated at this point.
Yeah.
You can
they're made in
the '80s
and stuff. So yeah.
Can appreciate for the budget and like and. That was the best of its time and everything, and they've only learned from then. We wouldn't have what we have now.
Exactly.
For that,
they helped at least push this.
Exactly.
I can see, push this into the future, like the possibility of how this happened of it being remade now.
But yeah, definitely go check this out in IMAX or the biggest screen you can. Guys.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because that it in IMAX with the sound in this, it makes you feel really into it. Especially the music going out, when the worms show up, they get that fucking signature noise.
Yeah.
When they were like, you know, not them making noise, but it's the music that you know the cue.
This is like the probably one of the best looking films I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, very good looking.
Like that IMAX we were at was definitely 4K, and like it just looked so good. Like I was like, holy shit, I can't wait to own this. Like when we were watching it.
Oh,
and hopefully they'll do a part one and part two extended cut, like I mentioned to you earlier, because I think if there was only...
If anything deserves a fucking Snyder cut, it's this movie.
Fuck
Zack Snyder. Because
if there's any
movies.
Criticism here, like I was saying to you, and maybe it's just... And I prefer to see movies in the theater, but I think when they become like over 2.5 hours, like sometimes it can drive my patience a little bit if the pacing is like slow at any point. You know, or maybe it's just like I'd rather be like watching it at home or something basically at that point. But this movie is 2 hours and 47 minutes and the pacing was fantastic here.
Oh, yeah.
I was telling you there's one point where I maybe like I want to check my phone. And then like right when I felt like that and like maybe yawned once, it was like right when the movie kind of like
starts picking back up,
picking up and getting really
like,
crazy.
And that's what I liked about it. It kept picking up and like it knows when it starts dragging on and it starts going to the next big thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it does a good job switching, like, even switching between Paul's adventure and then showing the what's happening to Harkins family. And, like,
and kind of contrasting that with Foyd Roytha and him.
They live in a real fucked up planet, the Harkins, man. The fucking black sun that they have.
Yeah.
Everything looks like it's black awesome and white because that of it.
Black
it
and
such
white
a cool,
planet.
It was such a cool little effect type thing.
It just turned into, like, a black and white movie, and that fit that race so well, and, like, just going to that planet. Which
everyone
is like
looks like a fucking...
Was that the first time we saw that planet?
Yes, I...
Or at least, the exterior kind of it and stuff.
I think we saw one other part in the first one, and it was at night. Okay. And it was, like, when they were getting ready for... That might have been the Harkins planet, but that might have been also, like, one of the other planets.
This was, like, a first, like, good look we kind
of
got.
Yeah, this was,
it,
like,
though,
good
yeah
in depth, seeing a lot of the build. You saw the buildings. You see what the fuck their weird architecture is. You're seeing the Colosseum.
See their weird fireworks.
Dude, those fireworks are trippy. I was loving it. It's like a lava lamp in the sky for a little bit.
It's like a reverse firework almost. Yeah.
It's like explodes and then implodes, but it stays like in a, like almost like an amoeba shape, and you know where the fucking outline is, and then until it sucks itself back in. You're like, oh my God,
it's so awesome.
It's so
though
weird, but cool, like in a sci-fi way. This world makes you feel like you're in a really advanced sci-fi universe, and it does its good job at it. Where
right,
it puts you, everything is, ooh.
Especially when, like I said, like with that Star Wars thing earlier, like I feel like the problem with Star Wars too, with a lot of the things, I don't know if you've noticed, but like they've almost been stuck on like Tatooine with like all these shows and stuff. People are almost like, there's so many planets in Star Wars. Like, why the fuck do you guys keep doing Tatooine?
Because everyone loves Tatooine. Obviously.
But like, I love Tatooine. Just the look. Yeah. I could never leave this desert. Like, it just looked so good.
Yeah,
in this movie, like,
funny enough, like,
especially that part at the beginning,
dude.
Like, I just feel like it looked so awesome there, like, and the colors were so fucking vibrant.
Oh, I know, it's really hard to make a desert like feel like a vibrant fucking an actual like environment too.
Yeah,
like they were like,
I'd say the only other one that really does a really good job like that and kind of does that is like the Mad Max, the new ones, like the Fury Road one.
Mad Max does a good,
and I was noticing that with the Furiosa trailer we saw before this movie, where I was like, this is like one of the only other ones I feel like where like they just do the desert like sort of thing like really well. Like
a lot of the Mad Max desert too, it's mostly like, yeah, it's a desert on the outside, but you're focused entirely on the actual like action happening on the roads.
It's cool how
ironically
our, like,
the road is where all the good stuff is. It's
our
where it's the most colors.
Our resistance like group here is like the sand people basically in Dune.
Dude, the Freeman
and
stuff.
They're so awesome.
Oh.
The Freeman, like, and they're cool tech and everything.
You get into their culture too. What they do?
They ride sand.
Ride in the worm, baby. It is such a good, it's such a cool universe to be in. It's like, or, you know, it would suck to actually be in it.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, but,
we
you know, it's such
it
a, it's such a cool thing to see and stuff like that. And it makes it feel so alive. You're seeing other animals, like, they mention even other animals, like the guy going into a rampant thing about centipede, like, you gotta look out for this, that, the centipedes. The big ones are the fine ones. It's the little ones you gotta worry about. He's just going, if I can, you're like, what the fuck?
There was definitely more comedy in this one, too.
Yeah, it's...
And, like, it worked, like, not, like, too much where it was, like, a
it's
Marvel,
not, comedy,
not a Marvel movie.
Like, it's more of a, yeah, subtle jokes.
It was had more comedic stuff and was also darker at the same time.
Yeah, like,
it's almost
like
they knew
Dave Bautista bashing that dude's head, and
yeah.
I couldn't help but get a little chuckling, even though it was,
yeah, Haley said she laughed too.
You were guys like, sir, he was just explaining how they couldn't, why they're losing spice, and Dave Bautista's character just bashing this poor fucker's head in, like into the console, and you're like, oh my God.
Jeez, Dave.
It's like, it's a lot of dark jokes, yeah. I think that. Things that probably shouldn't be funny, but you're kind of chuckling at.
It's a dark
at.
Comedy.
I don't know. Maybe we're just fucked up. Who knows?
Probably that.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. My sense of humor is pretty shot these days.
Just reminded me of Adam Sandler in Punch Drunk Love.
Oh, my God. Fuck you. Fuck him. Shut the fuck up. All right. Oh, my God.
Dave Bautista just channeled his inner
Adam
Shut
Sandler the fuck
up. In that movie.
Yeah, just going to his guy, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Just start bashing their head and running. I'm like, dude, that would have been hilarious. That would have been better. Oh my God. Shut the fuck up. But then you made, then you see later him being made his like his brother's bitch, the little brother who's actually his, makes him his bitch. Kiss my shoe. One.
Well, you just have to. That could be its own TV show, like the fucked up like things that happened with them when they were teenagers.
Catching up with the Harkins. Oh my god, a sitcom. It'd be fucked up. Oh, did you kill our mother? Oh, you did it. Oh my god.
Directed by Jordan Peele. He's gonna team up with him on that one.
Oh my god.
Jordan Peele. Jordan Peele. That'd be dope, actually.
Jordan Peele's catching up with the Harkins. Oh my god.
He can
you're supposed to control the spice.
Think about it.
I'm trying, Uncle.
We know he can do the visuals, right? Oh, we saw his and the horror. We know he can do the horror and the visuals. We've seen Get Out and Open Us.
Yeah, watch him do a sitcom.
And we know he can do the comedy, the dark comedy. We see him do Key and Peele.
Yeah, I can say that.
So we get him for Dune, catching up with the Harkonnens.
Pitch that to Netflix, see how they like it.
HBO Max, pick this up.
Pick us up. Get you know where to call. You know where to get us.
I guess they're making a Dune show. They've been, I don't know, I guess they got announced a few years ago, like even cast stuff a few years ago, too. It's going to be a Dune, like the Jezerich, like a Jezerich show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like a spinoff type thing?
Yep.
On HBO?
Yep, HBO Max.
Cool.
Or Max, sorry.
No, that'd be really interesting to see, like,
say HBO Max.
Some of those Jesuit sisters, like society, whatever, and stuff, what they do, them acting as controlling everything from behind the scenes.
Yep.
Like puppets on
screen. I think it was supposed to be a prequel, though. Hmm? I think it was supposed to be a prequel.
No, if you're gonna do, have to do it a prequel because, as I tell you, Paul comes in and wrecking shit, so you can't see the.
I remember
Jesuits
when I heard about that show, though, it was after the first one came out, and I was like, this kind of sounds stupid for a show. And
now you're after seeing this, I'm like, okay. I kind of want to see more.
Right? Yeah, no, seriously.
Yeah, that's like I kind of agree. Feeling. Especially since the sisters control, like, through manipulation. It's like watching Game of Thrones politics with these people.
That's what kind of reminded me of.
And that's actually kind of what Dune is. It's basically, like I said, old medieval fucking like politics just in space.
It's Game of Thrones, but if it was like sci-fi, basically.
Yeah.
And it's not as, luckily, it's, at least I think, it's goes to those dark points, but it's never as graphic or brutal as Game of Thrones can be at points.
Yeah. I mean, like, they get, you're seeing people die, of course, throughout the whole fucking show, but
I feel like that's some of the things about like Game of Thrones and The Boys that kind of like deter me sometimes.
Like the over gory stuff?
Yeah, where I'm like, do I really feel
gory
like
for gory's sake?
Yeah, exactly.
Just for a point.
Exactly.
Like Game of Thrones did a good job at in the earlier seasons where they were like, the gore was for a purpose or like it was to show how brutal and fucked up this is. And then later they kind of more made it jokingly.
We literally see people getting their throats slit in this movie.
Yeah, that's when you're seeing people like, get fucking...
Like, it's enough where, like, it'll make you wince, though, but if you're someone that doesn't like blood, there's no blood. We don't see blood.
It's a very... Like
or
the
barely
little,
any.
Yeah, they're not
so,
gushing
it's so
blood.
Quick. It's so quick that you know, like
it might be like them on the ground with a little puddle coming out.
Exactly.
And that's it.
Basically, it's like it's so quick. 90% of these people that you're gonna see their throats get slit or like get killed or stabbed or something, you're not gonna see the blood. In the little case that you do, it's so quick that like it's like you're not gonna really, and it's nothing too graphic or it's never gore. It's just blood.
It's believable. It's just blood. It's like. And they kill you with reason, too. Like, it's, you know, like, instead of just being brutal about it, they do it on a way that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
They do a nice, quick shake, fuck, slice. Unless you're Dave Bautista just bashing some guy's head in the console, but... Fucking, but
why was he such an oinker there, but then he just turned into such a pussy?
Yeah, I know. He turned into a big puss. Big pussy in the later, and as he's running away from it. Except in the very end where he decides to fight the one guy. Oh.
But then that's how we die.
I'm back from the dead. I'm like, at that point, he probably realizes, oh, fuck, everything's fucked.
When Thanos fucking beats your ass.
Oh, my God. Wait, was that
think?
Actually the actor who did Thanos?
Yeah, Josh Brolin.
Wait, so you're saying Thanos versus Drax happened?
Yes.
And we saw Drax actually die to Thanos?
We got that.
Oh my god.
You just connected that for me right now.
Fucking mind blown.
Now someone's make that edit, someone.
Oh yeah, it was good.
You know we're gonna see that now.
I hope
especially
so.
How easy it would
I
be.
I wanna see that meme.
Right? Especially how easy it would be for Dave Bautista to like probably do him. The harder one would be putting Thanos in that part, but just make him purple.
Yeah,
for
I was
that
gonna say just put like a purple filter over yeah, him.
Put some things on his chin.
Yeah, just like make it like look like he got his chin ran over by a lawnmower, boom, you're perfect.
You're good.
Perfect Thanos.
Someone can do that, we'll pay for it. I'll buy you Wendy's.
Oh my God. I'll buy you a Wendy's.
Or Dune 2 popcorn bucket, whatever whatever of those two you want.
Yo, hold on. Those things
but
are
if you're
probably
if I'm buying you Wendy's, it's going to be off the 4 for $4 menu.
You can only get a small frosty. That's it. I'm not buying fucking large.
Capiche? But, yeah, I think people will really enjoy this movie. I know we did.
Oh, yeah, dude. If you're looking for a good action sci-fi movie with just the right amount of, like, good drama mixed with, you know, keeping you entertained, fuck, this is the perfect movie for you. There you go.
And the,
especially with the dry spell we've been having with some movies lately, this is a breath of fresh air, and it feels good.
And the average rating right now... based on like Metacritic and Rotten Tomatoes and all that stuff. There's not many out right now. It's mainly just the critics, not the fans, unfortunately. But it's got an 8.8 right now. So I would say we're probably just slightly above that.
Rookie numbers. Boost those numbers up. Come on. Let's do more. More.
It's like I would say I'm like definitely above, I'd say, the average rating. Not by too much, but this really was a phenomenal movie. And this is like the sort of movie you want to see in theaters.
Oh yeah, this is if you're going to see a movie in theaters, this is definitely the one to see. It is
like we said, largest
enhances the experience,
largest screen you can see it in,
with the biggest sound effects you can get, the most sound you need to get in there, fucking rock your shit.
But yeah, so definitely go see it in a IMAX or 70mm. You won't regret it. But I think that about wraps it up, Pose. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Spoiled It and supporting all things Bros and Pose here at Two Pose in a Pod.
Indeed. We appreciate the support.
And if you're a nerdy stoner like us, make sure to like and subscribe to all our other grilled pop culture content on YouTube at Retrotainment and BroPX and at Grill TV Studios, Spotify at Two Pose in a Pod, as well as Facebook and Instagram and X at Borgeson_Liam. Once again, I do not know who that is. Really weird.
Yeah.
Why is he running our X account?
I couldn't tell.
Huh.
Hopefully
he's not a dick. Yeah, he's probably some intern, right?
Fucking intern.
But until next time, stay pod and wormhole, bros.
Embrace the wormussy. Till next time.
Peace, Pose.
Later.